This is going to be a little different because you guys have heard, one said they've already heard all this stuff. What are you going to tell them? But let me pray right now and ask God to guard my lips. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to speak to this class, and I just pray, Father, that you would guard my lips and make sure that I only say what you tell me to say, Father. We just pray this in Christ's name. So, I don't know. Ty gave me this list of stuff I'm going to talk about. And since most of y'all know about it, I'm going to say, Sherman, you're the only one that doesn't. But just real quick, just to remind you guys, Juan and I were both from Birmingham. Met her down in Panama City dancing. Saw her when she was 15 years old. Didn't know she was 15. And we started dancing and started dating. And a couple of years later, we got married. I graduated from Auburn on a Saturday. On a Wednesday. I graduated from Auburn on a Wednesday. This was after a couple of years. And we got married that Saturday. And then the following Tuesday or Wednesday, I moved out to Dallas, Texas, and became a married man, engineer. It was crazy. Totally changed my life. We didn't know anything. I mean, we look at some of those pictures when we were first married. We were kids. I mean, but that was the greatest thing that happened, because being the fact that we moved away, you know, it's one of the things we teach in marriage, leave and cleave. Boy, we left and cleaved, that's for sure. We hadn't been married, but of course we just had one car. And after being married a couple months, Wanda got mad at me and she took off. Got in the car and left. And what do you do with one car? I mean, what was I going to do? Run after her? I couldn't do anything. But at least she couldn't go home to her mom. And that's what happened. She drove up the block to the shopping center and just sat there and cried for a little while. Finally came back. But that's the good thing about leaving Cleveland. You have nowhere to go. You had to work it out. And we did. We worked it out and are still working it out. So, I guess, you know, we have been married 54 years, and it has been a challenge, and it's been fabulous. I wouldn't change a thing. We still are great friends. We get up every morning and have our quiet time, so that's still going on. What's happened in between? I'm not going to tell you about what I do. You know, somebody says, "Well, if you had it to do different, would you do it different?" Okay, and my quick response is no. I mean, everything. We actually, several years ago, Juan and I were at the beach, and I work from home a lot and have my computer with me. As long as I've got my computer, I can work from anywhere. And she said, "You realize that God has answered a prayer that we prayed for years and years and years, that you would be able to work remotely and we'd be able to travel." So that's what we do now. I mean, literally, when we want to go somewhere, I don't hardly even tell anybody. I have a company, InfoMedia, and they've created these graphic artists. They've got this world view, and there's my little head up there, and it says, "Where is John LaVoy today?" I don't ever tell them where I am. We just leave, and they call me up, and you know, they don't know where I am. So anyway, but it's great because we get to do that. So I'm testimony. Y'all have heard my testimony, but you know, I'm an Italian Catholic, and if somebody would have told me I'd be teaching in a Presbyterian church, I'd tell them they were crazy. But y'all know the story about the guys that took me to snow skiing. I thought the coolers were all full of beer, and turns out they were full of milk, and they took me out and shared Christ with me. But you know, it's been a real challenge right now. That's what I'm trying to do right now, is share Christ with a lot of my Italian cumbatis. Boy, that is the hardest thing to do. It is really difficult, but I'm still working at it. Still, matter of fact, that was one of them. I saw you at Archie's the other day. That was one of them. We grew up together. And, these guys are, you know, they're born and raised Catholic, and you try to tell them about Jesus, and they get a little angry because, you know, they feel like they're the one true church. We're the protesters. And, so it's hard to talk to them about it. But anyway, I'm still trying to do that. That's what I'm doing right now. I work every day. I'm the CEO of InfoMedia, and my son runs it. And so I just try to keep the wheels on, make sure that we don't run out of money so that I'll have a retirement. But it's nice that I have decreased so that he can increase, and he runs the company, and I don't get into the day-to-day stuff. So anyway, that's what I do every day. And I have a couple of Bible studies I go to. I was telling Ty that I'm working with Rob Jennin right now. He started a new ministry called Discipleship Making Ministry. Have you done any of that with Rob? DMM? Discipleship? I'm going to get you two guys in. It's a new way to make disciples just by telling biblical stories. Just like, and you know, you think about it, that's what Jesus did. He just told stories. And it's a training how to do that with anyone and try to share Christ with them. So I'm trying to learn that. And we're still doing marriage counseling a little bit, very little. And that's it. All right, so what am I going to talk about? You guys, like you were saying, Glenn, y'all had your kids were this little. And one of the things that I found out about as I get older, I'm 77 now, me and Ty are the same age, and it's amazing that your kids are still your kids. My kids are 52 and I mean, it's crazy, and 47, and they're still kids, and we're still having to deal with things that are going on. That is a prayer request. Jason is married. Jason and Jen are twins, and Jason's doing great. He's got four kids, and they're all here in Birmingham, and they're doing great. Jen, her husband, left her about 7 years ago, just up and decided he didn't want to be married anymore, and so she's still dealing with that. And boy, I tell you, it just tears your heart out to see your kids go through this, and it's just it divorces the gift that keeps on giving. It just sad that it just continues on. And then Mike, my oldest, 52, is up in Asheville, North Carolina. He's a civil engineer, and he just separated from his wife. I'm going, oh no, I cannot believe this. And boy, I tried to talk to him for a couple of months, and he kept literally hanging up on me. Dad, I don't want to hear it. Bye. Whatever, Dad. And I mean, what do you do with a 52-year-old son that you can't talk to? And finally, I went up a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, I'm coming up. And he said, what are you coming up for? I said, well, I want to know what all the whatever's in for him that you keep saying whatever about. I said, so, and then, boy, I was on my way up there. He said, don't come, Dad. I'm halfway there. Don't tell me don't come. I'm coming anyway. So, but we, all you can do is just, I mean, all I did was just try to love him. I mean, you can't do anything. What are you going to do with a 52-year-old man that decides he wants to leave his wife? It's really a sad thing. So, guys, I will tell you one thing that we've seen in our older age, and that is so many families. I'm telling you, I told him, what is the one thing I can tell this class? I see parents get estranged from their children. And I was absolutely not going to let that happen with Mike, my oldest. I mean, as far as he was concerned, he was through with me and through with us because he didn't want to talk to us anymore because we, you know, made him feel bad. And I said, I'm going up there to love him and accept him and not be judgmental. And that's what we see. I will tell you, at one time when we were talking about doing marriage counseling, at one time we had not one, not two, not three, seven couples that we were talking to that were estranged from their kids. And being estranged from their kids, those couples did not get to see their grandkids. So if there's one thing I can tell you moms and dads, this is just my observation. My observation is the mom talking to the daughter-in-law. For some reason, y'all's generation, I don't even know, I'm not talking to anybody in particular, I'm just saying this is what I've seen, where in our generation, when my mom would tell Wanda, that would be her daughter-in-law, hey honey, you shouldn't put so much sugar in the spaghetti sauce, or you should change the diaper this way, or do whatever, Wanda would say, great, okay. But I've seen our generation, that when that happens, a lot of the daughter-in-laws take it as an insult, and I guess they think, well, you think I'm being a good mother or something. I don't know what it is, but then you see what happens is the daughter-in-law doesn't want to spend time with the parents because of this tiff, a riff, and then the husband is doing what he's supposed to do. He's backing the wife, and so what happens is they get estranged from their parents. And these are not ungodly couples. I mean, three of the couples were very, very strong Christian couples, and they just haven't seen. We were talking about Auburn. One of my best friends is, you know, his son was, he was Albie, and his son was Albie. And this is a great couple. He hasn't seen his son in 7-8 years, haven't even seen their grandkids. I mean, it's so sad. So, why am I telling you all that? Because just being loving to your kids, even when they start getting, and they're going to have their own ways and own thoughts and whatever, just to be loving toward them. And you think about it, that's what Wanda said. What are you going up there to tell him? That was the other thing. The rip was he wanted me to meet his girlfriend.
Your son?
Yes. And boy, I mean, Wanda, that went all over her. And for 2 or 3 months, that's what caused us, if you're not going to meet her, then don't come. And so that was the rift. I mean, that was the issue. And so I finally said, look, Jesus met the woman at the well. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, you know, I'm not going to judge my son. I can't tell him what to do. So anyway, I did go up there. And so we're back on speaking terms now. Nothing's changed, but anyway, that is a prayer. We still pray for Mike and Kim. That's his wife. Just what did I get up here to tell you all that for? But I feel like that's the one thing that I think blindsides couples. Your kids are growing up and they've got their own ways. And we still think of our kids as being our kids. I mean, y'all do, right? I mean, you don't think of them being adults sometimes, and the first thing we want to do when they tell us something that we disagree with is voice our opinion. And sometimes, I was just reading a couple of books and talking about Lincoln and Benjamin Franklin and all of those guys. They used to be, like me, very vocal in our opinions, and you know, they decided that's not a good way to be. That if somebody has an opinion, you need to try to understand it. And say, well, that's probably not the way I would do it, but maybe you could help me understand what you're thinking. So, anyway, the other thing, and I am going to get to my life verses because that's the one thing I do want to pass on. But the other, Ty said to share something that others, I don't know if y'all know this or don't know this. It's information, but I think it's also fantastic. That is the fact that Wanda is home right now preparing lunch, as she always does. This has been going on for over 100 years. My grandmother did it. My mother did it. And Wanda's been doing it for 50 years. And she is fixing a big lunch, and we'll have 10, 12, 15 people at lunch every Sunday.
That's a great idea.
And that starts on Friday, Saturday. Usually we go to the grocery store on Friday, Saturday, and Wanda's cooking all day Saturday, and that's our life. But you know, she started that back when the kids were teenagers, and she used food as something that, you know, when they'd come in from a date, she was always cooking a cake or a pie or something, and that's how she would get them to talk to her. She would say, and they'd say, "What are you cooking, Mom?" And, you know, she'd have something on the stove. Anyway, she does it to this day, but I guess our kids come to lunch every Sunday. And we got 9 grandkids, and the ones that are here, 7 of the 9 are here, and they come, because they come to Sunday lunch. They want to get spaghetti and meatball game Sunday, so they drive all the way from Auburn or wherever and come home for lunch. And anyway, that part is great. I just want to tell you that it's a good thing. It's a great thing, and God has blessed us with that. Life verses. I've got one verse that is little known to a lot of people, because the first time I said this, I wanted to show this. When I came to know the Lord, when those guys led me to the Lord, they said, well, they were having a quiet time. And I said, I didn't even know what they were doing. They got up that morning. I thought they were all sick. They were all doing this. I thought, did y'all eat something? I got up early. I was up, but they were all over there like that. And they told me about reading Scripture every morning. And so that one, I got home and I said, they told me I need to read Scripture every day. And so she bought me a one-year Bible. That was 35 years ago. This is the third one, by the way. And I want to pass this on to y'all, because to me, if I had one thing to say to you, is to buy one of these. Because it's not about, it is about what God is saying to you every day. But I write in this every day. Not every day, but the point is, when things happen or when I'm praying for something, and I come back through, you know, on that day, I'll put on somebody passing away, or that's where we are right now. We're having a lot of friends that are getting sick and we're praying for, and so we'll put that, you know, I'll write that in there. Wanda's sister, you know, we had to take care of her. We took care of Wanda's mother and her dad and my mother and dad. All during that time, we would write in here, what's going on, what are we praying for? And so when you go back and I'm having a quiet time with Wanda, I'll say, wow, look at this. 2 years ago, remember, Connie, it was so-and-so was in the hospital and they passed away now. Whatever. And it's so neat when I can pick up the phone and call a friend of mine and say, hey, this is the Linda. She passed away today. I know. You know, that's a say. Anyway. We're having a lot of our friends that's happening right now. And so it's good to have, because, you know, the fact that you knew that. I have it written in here. That's why I know it. But also, it's really amazing. What's amazing is, you know, people say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Well, let me tell you, I am a total believer that God is always broadcasting. It's just a lot of times we don't have a radio on. He's always broadcasting. We just don't listen. And so I'm having a once-a-week Bible study with my grandson. He's 14 right now. And so we're reading the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And so the other day we had a Friday afternoon, we sat out on the patio and did a little Bible study. And the point was, I've been telling him that God speaks to us on that day. You know, things will come up on that day. And so, anyway, we were reading, he's very argumentative. And so we were reading, it was in How to Win Friends and Influence People, and he likes to know it all, you know, and so he was arguing with his mother and blah, 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 and we were reading that. And one of the statements in the book was, be as smart as you can, but don't let everybody know it. That was, you know, and that's what he does. He lets people know how smart he is. And this is, I said, look, Gabe, October 7th, that's the day. That's the day we're having the Bible study, right? I said, I want you to see what was in my reading this morning. Now, I said, that was underlined today. That was underlined years ago, okay? But read this right here. I had him read this. Let the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong... Sorry, I'm not reading this right. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man of his strength, but in the Lord. And I said, see, I mean, what we're learning right now is exactly what God wanted to tell us today. And but that's happened to me when our business, we're 25 years, InfoMedia is 25 years old now, but boy, we went through some really, really, really rough times. And there were a lot of things in here. It says up 3 o'clock this morning praying, we do not have money to meet payroll today. Lord, what are we going to do? Show us the way to go, God. We don't know what to do. And then the answered prayer comes the next day, and I'd write in there what the prayer was. All right, so what was the verse I was going to tell y'all? That's what I was going to tell you. So I've been doing this for like 5 years when I met some guys over here at Briarwood, and we started doing a Bible study, and my verse was Ecclesiastes 2:26. To the one who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. And I quoted that verse, and they said, "You've read Ecclesiastes?" I'm going, yeah, about five. I've been through it five times. You guys haven't? What's the deal here? I thought, you mean y'all haven't read the Bible five times? Anyway, but of course I'd gone through it 5 years. But that verse, I got to thinking, you know, every day, all day long, every minute of the day, we're either pleasing ourselves or we're pleasing God. I mean, you get up in the morning and what are you doing? You're taking care of yourself, you're fixing your own coffee, and you have to stop and say to the one who pleases, or the one who pleases Him, being God, He blesses us with wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. And I said, that's what I want. I want wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. So therefore, I need to please the Lord. So, it's all about, and then, okay, so what does that got to do with today? So let me tell you what today's verse is. How about this? October 9th. Again, I didn't underline this. It's here, October 9th. I got it this morning. I'm reading this because I knew I was going to tell you all that verse. It says, this is in 1 Thessalonians. It says, "We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. We were not looking for praise from men, but from anyone else." Anyway, in speaking to y'all today, or at work when I'm there, I said, I'm not here to please anybody at work. I'm just here to please the Lord. Whatever He wants me to do today is what I'll do. And first thing He tells me to do, go take care of Wanda. Love her. That's what I told you to do. But my other life verse is Psalms 143:8. "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, because I have put my trust in you. Show me the way to go. For to you I lift up my soul." And the great news is the answer to that is Psalms 32:8. "I will teach you and instruct you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you with my loving eye upon you." And then I go on, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you hope in the future." And you can, Jeremiah 33:3, "You can call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." And of course the other one, you know, "I am the vine, you're the branch." Remember, John, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you can do all things. Without me, you can do nothing. Did you hear me, John? And be quick to listen, slow to speak. Do not let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building one another up. Okay? And of course, that goes on for about 3 seconds. And then my favorite verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, 18. "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I can't tell you how many times I've argued with God about that verse. "Lord, you want me to be joyful in this circumstance?" But He's told me, "Yeah, you think you can run things better than me?" And so, show me the joy, Lord. Show me how to get through this. What can I do to be joyful in the midst of this circumstance? And anyway, those are the verses I've used. And then, of course, David, after he, you know, you mess up all the time. And I love the Psalms. David says in Psalms 139, it says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and lead me in the way everlasting." If I'm not doing anything, if I'm being anxious, whether it be talking to y'all or in a big meeting or working with my, driving up to North Carolina when my son's telling me not to come, I'm not going to be anxious about it. I'm going to pray about it and say, "Lord, in my head it's a scale. If I'm anxious, scale go this way, then my faith and trust in God is here. If my faith and trust in God, you know, that if I'm anxious, that means I'm not trusting God. So I have to confess that and say, "Lord, I'm being anxious. I'm not trusting you. Show me what to do to take away this feeling I'm having right now." And then go back, start over again to the one who pleases God. "Lord, what is it you want me to do?" That's what Charles Stanley used to say. Just do the right thing and let God worry about the results. So just, you know, asking the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" That's where, "Show me the way to go, Lord." And He says, "I'll teach you the way to go," and do what He says to do. I'm going to shut up now and let y'all ask any questions. That's all I got right now. Any questions or whatever, comments?
Yeah, so you almost answered the question, but
what?
To get into that, I'm not going to be anxious, Lord, just show me what to do. How does he show you what to do?
He usually gets me up early. He usually gets me up early and speaks to me in the evening. And Wanda, I talk to her. I have found in 54 years of marriage, there's no doubt we talk about, that God sends plays in with the halfback. I mean, Wanda is the halfback. She sends plays in all the time. And if I play the tape back and I look at the decisions that I made that were bad, it was those times that we didn't discuss them or pray about them. And we've made some bad decisions. And almost all of those is when crazy me did something on my own without really praying or talking about it. So, did I answer your question? And usually, if I don't see something, it also amazes me that how many times Juan and I will be having a quiet time and I'll say, we were praying about this. Let me read this verse to you. And she's on a different book or totally different. And she'll say, let me read you my verse today. And it's like, oh my God. Okay. There we go. So we've been blessed with that. I mean, we do have she and I have a very great spiritual time in the morning. That's one of the advantages of being semi-retired. I get to do that in the morning. I don't have to go running off to get ready for work.
John?
Yes.
Most of the people don't have grandchildren yet, so they could start off on the right foot if you told them how to do it. What do you do when you don't agree with how your grandchildren are being raised?
You tell them, look, no, I'm just kidding. that's the issue right there. No, that's the way I did that. That is my knee-jerk reaction is, well, that just happened this weekend. Or, no, I think it was last weekend. Jen has a daughter, and she was going to let her drive down to Auburn by herself. And, of course, I didn't think that was a good idea, and so I let her know. And one of them, you can't tell her what to do. Yeah, I can. But that's the issue. Now, the good news is she's my daughter, and so she's still speaking to me. But if I'd done that to Sean D, as a matter of fact, that has happened before. Jason, several times, has called me aside and said, Dad, if you've got something to say to Sean D, you say it to me. Don't say it to her. Don't do that. And so he's called me down several times. But that's exactly what happens, Florence. I think we think we know better, which we do. Exactly. We absolutely do know better, but you can't tell them that you know better. And so that's why I'm trying to read How to Win Friends and Influence People again. I mean, learning how to casually, or how did Benjamin Franklin do it? He said, I quit telling people that they were... When Benjamin Franklin started, they said he was impossible. You couldn't talk to him because he was so smart. Everybody said it. I mean, he would tell them they're wrong. And he said, somebody told him, I said, you're impossible. You can't talk to him. He said, from now on, I'm not going to tell anybody they're wrong. And he lived the rest of his life like that and became one of the greatest diplomats the world had ever known. But it's because he wouldn't tell somebody they were wrong. He would just say, well, now, let's examine the facts. And try to get them to come over his way. Thank you. But good luck, guys. Y'all got grandkids coming. I tell you. And this phone thing, oh my gosh, they come in for lunch on Sunday, and I mean, they're sitting at the table giving it this. Drives me insane. I mean, we tried grabbing the phones and putting them in a basket, and they got them mad. And anyway, it's a challenge. We do it by just trying to get them to talk about it. We try to engage them in discussions. They don't talk to each other. I mean, your grandkids, our grandkids are in anywhere from 13 to 19 now. But back several years ago, it was all, on the phone. That's all they do. I gave you no information that you could use just now. I don't think. But no. It's just anything else?
So John, you're the CEO of protection. You need to invent something. When the kids sit at the table, something just turns off the phone. I can't seem to get my phone to work.
Well, meatballs work good. Meatballs are ready. They put down their phones when that happens. And no, we do. And talk to them. We do try to engage them in discussions that they're interested in. Try to talk to them about stuff and find out what their interests are and things like that. And I'm even doing, I mean, my 14-year-old that I'm trying to meet with right now, I mean, he's getting into me games and things that I like to race Mini Coopers at Barber Motor Speedway, so he takes me out to, we drive on the electronic thing, you know, out at the E-Flex, he would take me out there. And anyway, we had a good time though. So, what else?
John, I had a friend, he was the CEO of Champion Realty in Maryland, and sister company of ours. And we were talking one day, he said, you know, when a problem bubbles up to my desk, it's usually pretty big. You know, a customer had a bad problem or something. He didn't have his call screen like none of us did. They came straight to the
yeah.
He said, when that happens, I take a kitchen timer and put it on my desk and set it for 37 minutes. And during that 37 minutes, the only thing I do is go, can you explain that to me? Help me understand that. He said, about the end of 37 minutes, we're kind of friends. We get it worked out. And that's what we got to do with our kids.
And grandkids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we are smarter than
most definitely. Well, it's great to see y'all again. Y'all look the good news is y'all all look the same. I look older, I'm sure. Me and Ty look older. Max looks a little. No, he looks the same, Max.
I'm with you, brother.
But it is great to see y'all again.
Tell Wanda we said, hey.
Yeah, she literally got in the car and she said, I better not go. She was dressing. And I said, whatever, babe. So, all right.
So, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So, we all have issues and trials. And what I struggle with is me and my own understanding. So, oftentimes I'm trying to figure something out. And I'm brutal on it, versus really casting upon the Lord and taking it back.
Right.
So, what's really helped you in this year? I can't think of it.
You know, the verses I gave y'all, I think of in football terms. You know, show me the way to go. Coach calls the play. I don't call the play. He calls the play. I'm the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And it gets down to that point right there. And that's what Jeremiah 33 says: call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a quarterback, I got to figure the coach is a whole lot smarter than I am. He knows everything about the game, and I don't know hardly anything about it. So when I get in, which I have, Tank, as we all have, get in a situation where, what in the heck are we going to do with this? And I just continue to pray, Lord, you said you would tell me what to do. I'm not moving until you tell me. And just keep praying that. And that's you know, like Moses, that's one of those prayers you can really argue with God and say, I'm not moving until you tell me what to do. And then talk to your sweet spouse and say, look, you know, maybe God, he's not telling me anything, maybe he's telling you something. What do you think? But that's, I'm just shocked at the wisdom Wanda has had over the years in situations where we just did not know what to do. And God's used her as a sounding board. So scripture and spouses. That's the answer to that. Yeah, they're also a whole lot smarter than we are, I have found. Yeah.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for today, and thank you for John, his wisdom and understanding. Thank you for his great love for you and all the verses that he gave us. And again, help us to rejoice all his praise and thanks in all situations. God's will for us in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.